Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. So excited. We have so many people excited to join and experience the full effect of what the Optimal Body Membership is. If you've listened to our podcast before, you've probably heard about the Optimal Body Membership because we drop little bits and pieces of how the core can help in different instances or the mobility with different diagnoses or pain points. And truly, this was my place to just bring it all together to help educate and empower people to understand and learn about their body. And right now, we are running a 50% discount. 50%. And this is probably the last time that we're ever going to really open up the Optimal Body Membership and have a discount like this. And when you have the membership, you also get exclusive access into our new platform, the Gen platform, which will be a Gen app. But you get exclusive access into the paid portions that other people will not, because you are a member of the Optimal Body. You are a member of really joining a community, getting to know your body, learning, and ultimately taking the time to get out of pain, reduce those aches, and feel better within your body. So if you haven't yet, go check out the link in our bio. It's docgenfit.com/theoptimalbody. Click the link in the show notes, get into it. You don't need a discount code right now. We are just dropping the price by 50% for the year. So get in, come access it for a year and see what it can do within your body. So excited for this podcast with Kelsey Heenan, a really good friend of ours who's going to dive into her story with disordered eating, anorexia, and how she's gone through that entire journey with food, which I know is a huge topic for so many people. Now, Kelsey is a certified trainer. She's a nutrition coach and the co-founder of the brands Hit Burn and The Daily Kelsey. She's also a trainer on OpenFit, where you can find her programs for 4 weeks of focus and Get Strong with Kelsey. She's worked with tens of thousands of people across the world to become healthier, happier, and more fit through her programs, nutrition, and mindset programs. Kelsey's worked with celebrities, athletes, and people from all types of backgrounds and fitness levels. She was recently featured on the cover of Strong Fitness magazine, and her work has been featured in publications like Shape, Women's Health, Men's Health, Forbes, Nike Training, and Muscle and Fitness. I mean, she's incredible. She really helps to get you fit by improving your relationship with food, exercise, and your body, to help you to become the stronger than ever in every sense. And I'm really excited about this interview. I know it's going to help so many people. So of course, if you know it can help someone, please pass this episode along to them. All right, let's get into it. Kelsey, thank you so much for being here and taking some time with us. I'm really excited to dive into your journey through health and really about the food stuff, because so many people have questions about it.
Thank you so much for having me. I love you both. And it's just an honor to, get to chat with you anytime.
I mean, I always personally love having a fellow Minnesotan on the podcast. I don't know how many we've had total, but makes my heart warm to have you here for that. But we really just want to kind of start by talking about what led you into this journey of health and what now makes you so passionate about sharing that with everybody else.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you want me to just kind of launch into some of the background?
Yeah, let's
absolutely.
Do it.
Amazing. Yeah. So I grew up as an athlete. Basketball was my primary sport, and I just loved it. I'm very shy naturally. And so sports was something that really allowed me to gain confidence and allowed me to really express myself when I didn't feel like I had words to do that. I could express myself through movement. And so I just grew up loving basketball because of the confidence that it gave me, eventually playing in college. When I was in college, I really wanted to start getting better. It was a very competitive school, lots of really incredible women who were there. And so I really needed to up my game to just be better, to get more playing time. And so I started, working out more. I started trying to eat, healthier, what I thought that was. And really quickly, I started to notice that things started to get really strict very quickly. And all of a sudden, I found myself really starting to become fearful of foods, saying no to, you know, social events, starting to work out multiple times a day for multiple hours. And things spiraled very, very quickly, where I lost a ton of weight in a short amount of time and eventually got very, very sick and developed anorexia. And it was a time in my life where I was trying to do the best that I could with the knowledge that I had. And I just really call it a perfect storm of events. And things just went downhill really quickly. And I had to eventually go into treatment. And through that treatment process, you know, all the therapy, you know, actually being in treatment and then the aftercare with my family, with Dennis, who is now my husband, after, you know, a long process of that, I came out on the other side thinking, okay, I know that obviously moving your body and eating nutritiously is important to be a healthy, functioning human, but it's so easy to go overboard one way or another. And so I wanted to help show the power that sports and movement and nutrition can have in someone's life without needing to make it become everything that someone, you know, thinks about, everything that they do. And so really after my healing process, Dennis and I decided we wanted to start an online business and start doing training and help people feel empowered through workouts and through their nutrition. And here we are, you know, years later, trying to do the same thing and just try to help people get stronger and healthier.
I mean, you're definitely doing that, but
yeah, I would say not trying. Yeah. You guys are crushing it.
I know, seriously. But like, it's such a, I mean, that whole journey, just my heart, you know, I like feel so much right now. And as a, not a professional, but I mean, you professional athlete being in college, how were you diagnosed in college while you were playing with anorexia?
I was, yeah. You know, it's an interesting thing because, you know, you're expected to work hard. You're expected to eat so that you can perform, you know? And I was always, you know, did my best to come first in sprints, and there was rarely a person that would beat me. I was always an incredibly hard worker, you know, putting in extra hours. I, you know, thought that I was eating healthy, would never put a carb into my mouth. I eventually became extremely terrified of it because I was like, well, to be healthy, you need to focus more on vegetables. I've learned many things since then, but I basically put in all these arbitrary food rules and it just went downhill so quickly. And so basically what happened was, you know, people around me were starting to notice. It started being like, wow, Kelsey, you're so disciplined. You always eat so healthy. You always work out so hard. I always see you running. I had this one random guy like who would always see me coming back from extra runs. And he's like, do you do anything else? I'm like, well, no, not really. Mm-hmm. You know, after a while, those compliments kind of turned into like, wow, like, should she be doing that? And Dennis, you know, was my boyfriend at the time. He's now my husband, was really the one to confront me about it because we had several kind of wake-up calls where I had episodes of really extreme panic around food. And in those moments, he was like, what is going on? I mean, he's a college kid who has never had any experience with this type of stuff before. And so after a couple of different episodes with that, he was like, Kels, I don't know what's going on, but there's something going on. And so you need to call your parents. My parents were back in Minnesota at the time. And so reluctantly, we called them together. And my mom flew out the next day, took me to the doctor. And sure enough, they weighed me and I was like shocked by it and how bad it had gotten. Mm. And then that's when she diagnosed me there and basically was like, you need to stop all forms of exercise right now. You need to start adding in more nutrients and all of these different things, which, you know, to me, I was like, this is absolutely absurd. But yeah, that's basically how it went down.
I appreciate you so much sharing all this because I think especially for athletes sometimes, you know, me being somebody who I played football in college, and looking back, I definitely developed certain relationships with food and how I was okay with certain things I put in my body, you know, because of athletics and because of what I thought I needed to do to gain a certain amount of weight, to be ready to play football. And I think so many athletes kind of have this skewed idea of what healthy is. And I'm kind of wondering, where do you think it is that you started hearing some of those early messages or getting some of that information that taught you, like, okay, this is what healthy eating looks like, that maybe then developed and spiraled into where you ended up?
I think for me, part of the problem was, you know, just in a sense, not seeking out professionals for like athletic nutrition. And it was more me just kind of getting magazines and doing, you know, internet searches on, you know, what healthy eating was, and eventually Frankenstein together all of these random diets, and just over time kind of imposed my own food rules. Because for me, I was like, okay, well, this diet says to do, you know, to eat low carb. Okay, so then I'm never going to eat X, Y, or Z, or I'm going to eat less because they told me to eat this amount. Okay, I'm going to do a little bit better. So I'm going to take it that next step. Because I was just an extreme perfectionist. I just wanted to, you know, be the best. I wanted to do better. And it just was a Frankenstein of all these different diets that eventually just spiraled into disorder, because it made no sense whatsoever.
So I know most of the strategies that Jen and I share are to try and help empower you to get movement in your body without any equipment. But we definitely understand that sometimes you need that, especially when you're trying to load up for heavy squats or heavy deadlifts. But sometimes you don't want to have all those heavy weights or kettlebells laying around the home. The Koba board is one of my favorite implements to use to load up into heavy squats and heavy deadlifts, and especially get into that amazing hinge pattern to feel and activate my glutes. This thing is actually proven to activate your glutes a little bit more than just doing any other standard squat or deadlift. So if you're interested in this, interested in loading up or getting this gift for somebody for the holidays and giving the gift of improving your glute activation, go to the link in the show notes and use code OPTIMAL for 15% off. Let's get back to the rest of the interview.
So during this time, were you kind of like the only person on your team going through some of these, you know, diet changes and trying to find what was healthy? Or did you notice that other people around you were experiencing some same things, or you guys were trying to work together in trying to figure it out? Like, how was that process within your teammates too?
It's interesting because I would say both and, but I was definitely the only one that I know of who had a really severe restrictive eating disorder. There were other, you know, just in talking with the other women on the team, people expressed struggling with food, not knowing what to eat, struggles with body image, things like that. And as I've, you know, grown and talked to more athletes, both male and female, it's a huge problem and struggle. Even if someone doesn't have a clinically diagnosed eating disorder, it's a really challenging place to be a high level athlete, where you have expectations for performance. So you need to eat for performance, but also you have these other external societal pressures to look a certain way. So there's just a lot of confusion. There's a lot of misinformation. So as far as I know, there weren't other clinical eating disorders on the team, but definitely people who struggled in different ways with food.
Yeah. And I just love how you continue to bring that up. And again, we're not people who are credentialed to diagnose these things, but we both played in college athletics and know that we saw teammates that really had different relationships with food and may have struggled with that body image at a time. And I just think when you're an athlete trying to do everything you can for your performance, but you don't know the best place to get that information or don't have the means to go out and seek professional help from a sports dietitian, it can be really, really tough. Yeah. So I kind of want to talk about when you did finally go and get that help and have, you know, the clinicians, the doctors start to say, okay, you now need to start making these changes and eat all these foods that previously had provoked some major anxiety, if not panic. Like, what was that like, needing to reorient and start eating foods that you previously had a huge adversity to?
It was really challenging. And I'm not going to lie, because it was one of the hardest things I've ever gone through in my life, because deep, deep, deep down, I knew that there was something going on because I didn't feel like myself. I was acting in ways that I had never acted before. I was feeling so much more anxious, depressed, all of these different things than I ever had before. So I knew that that deep down wasn't me. But on sort of a surface level, my brain was telling me that these things were the correct things to be doing.
Yeah.
And so it was this weird kind of back and forth, angel on my shoulder, devil on my shoulder, because I had always been able to trust myself. I'm a very, you know, straightforward person, kind of go-getter. And so I'd always been able to trust myself to do the right thing, to do the hard work. And so now I had felt so confused because I couldn't trust myself fully anymore based on what all these people were telling me, people who I trusted. So in treatment, it started with having some family-based therapy. So the family would come in. So I had my mom come in and Dennis came in as well. And the clinicians would work with the families. They would work with the people who were in the treatment. And then they would work with all of us together and kind of worked with all of us to have them help support the refeeding process and reintroduce a lot of those feared foods and the foods that had been cut out. So for a while, it was my mom who was leading a lot of the refeeding. And then eventually when I was healthy enough to go back to school, then Dennis was helping support me in that, along with continued care from the doctors. I would go down there and see them very regularly to make sure that I was safe and that I was, you know, progressing in all of those ways. So it was definitely a challenge because it felt like when you have an actual physical threat, it was that type of fear. And the types of things that I was experiencing were just, they would bring up so much anxiety that I felt like I was actually in physical danger in a sense, which sounds super strange. But that's how it felt when I was presented with these foods that I had created rules around. But eventually over time, it worked. I was able to introduce them back in regularly to not only just eat them, but eat them without fear. Mm-hmm. And that was a huge accomplishment because it really is challenging to move people from those extremes back into health, to eventually not have any extreme thoughts or feelings around food. So I'm extremely grateful to all of the doctors, to my family, and to Dennis, who has been with me every step of the way.
Just so incredible. I mean, and the journey that you have to go through in experiencing all of that. And you might say like, oh, it sounds weird. You know, it's this fear response that in that extreme anxiety that's coming up just from someone telling you to eat a type of food. But I'm sure people listening have been able to feel that, like it can relate with what you're talking about because there's so much magazine articles or social media or things that what we should be doing, what we shouldn't be doing. And there becomes so much shame around this. And I know that you were initially doing this for health. You were doing it because you wanted to be a better athlete. So what happened with athletics during that time? Were you, did your performance decline? Were you able to still stay in basketball?
I had to quit. Just medically, I wasn't stable enough to keep doing practices, to do games, like all of that kind of stuff. So I needed to quit medically, but just also mentally, emotionally, I was such a wreck that I wasn't able to show up for my team in the ways that I needed to be there. And so I eventually had to quit to get myself healthy. And I still joke to this day that I still have 2 years of eligibility because I wasn't able to finish out my career. But, and you know, I love the life that I live now, but basketball was such a, it had given me so much confidence and joy throughout my life that I still joke about that because I'm like, maybe someday still have those 2 years left.
I've seen those videos of you and Dennis shooting. And I think that once this episode comes out, recruits are going to come knocking. So just get ready. Just get ready.
Just you wait, team. It's about to happen.
So I kind of want to ask then, you know, once you started going through this refeeding process and started, you know, putting all that nutrients that your body needed in, did you feel any major changes start to happen in your body? And when you started to be able to return to exercise, did you notice a significant difference in what your body could do for you?
Absolutely, yes. It's pretty amazing, the power of food, not only in the physical sense where it just gives you strength and it gives you energy, but just the mental clarity and how much my anxiety reduced. Once I was able to get over a lot of the hurdles of the feared foods, just allowing my kind of body to recalibrate was absolutely mind-blowing. I started to just sleep better. I started to have less depression, anxiety, all of those things. I just started to feel like myself again. Now, this wasn't like an overnight process, and I had, you know, and it wasn't linear either. It wasn't just on the up and up. I had some really amazing days where I didn't have a ton of fear around food. I was able to eat different types and amounts of food. And then I had days where it was just hard. And I think that it's important to acknowledge that it's, you know, anybody's journey isn't linear, but it really did make a huge difference. And gaining back weight was really, really important. I've talked to so many women who are afraid to go through that process, but it was for me, I mean, and for a lot of people, it's really essential, especially in a restrictive eating disorder. But even if you don't have a restrictive eating disorder, but you just have disordered eating tendencies and perhaps are underweight for what is best for your body, everyone is so different. And so sometimes having a higher set weight is really beneficial physically and mentally, because it's wild what can happen if you just take a couple extra bites of food to stop thinking about food so much. Sometimes people just really try and limit because they're, you know, counting specific calories or macros. And so they're like, okay, I've hit it. I'm done. I can't have any more. And it's crazy what can happen if you just have a couple more bites of food, fully satisfy that hunger, and it just allows your body to optimize. So I really did notice a huge difference.
So how do you start approaching people now in terms of, you know, maybe they haven't been diagnosed and working through a disorder, you know, maybe they don't have an eating disorder per se. With that diagnosis, however, they do have disordered eating in terms of how they view food as being good or bad, or what they've heard, or I need to stay away from this because my favorite internet doctor said, you know, how do you start to approach food in that way with people?
Yeah. So I'm very careful because I'm not a doctor. I don't have, it's outside of my scope to diagnose and treat eating disorders. So I have a list of professional resources that I've referred out many people who have come to me. And so if I have any sort of sense that someone potentially is going down that road, I always refer out and will help support, just whatever a doctor is prescribing, will just help support them emotionally and all of those things. But I don't prescribe or treat eating disorders in that sense. I do help people who generally don't have eating disorders, but they just struggle with knowing how to fuel their bodies. They really struggle with body image. They maybe have some arbitrary food rules that they Frankenstein together from a few different diets that I help them really evaluate, okay, why do I do this? Is it helpful? Has it been beneficial to me? Why am I still holding on to it? And kind of just help people think through some of those things and support them along the way. So a lot of different things around the principles of intuitive eating, just with helping people evaluate, do I have a lot of food rules? Why do I have them? And how can I break those so that I can have more freedom around eating? Helping people learn how to listen to hunger and honor fullness as a guide rather than having to count every single thing that they eat. Mm-hmm. Helping them challenge different thoughts, like the food police is what some of the people are in the intuitive eating world will call it, that kind of voice in your head that is telling you, oh, you shouldn't eat that. That's going to, you know, do X, Y, or Z to your body. So it's bad if you eat that. Helping them, you know, with those thought processes. And then just helping people break arbitrary food rules and create balance, because that's so different in everybody's lives. But if there's something that is inhibiting your ability to live life well, it's more than your body fat percentage. We need to work on a lot of those things to be able to just live your life to the fullest, to be a healthy person, to reach the goals that you have, but also to just live life.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so great. And I really appreciate you kind of, you know, wanting to be sensitive. And on, you know, this podcast, we want to be sensitive to anybody out there who might be, you know, dealing with at whatever stage they're at an eating disorder, or if you are listening and feel like you might need more resources, hopefully we can get some of those resources linked up in the show notes down below. Or of course, you can reach out to Kelsey or any of us in DMs, and we'll try to make sure you get the right resources moving forward. But I think that one thing that I love is this concept and talks you have with all these people about how to start forming that new relationship and breaking some of these arbitrary rules. And, you know, we've mentioned kind of tongue in cheek, some of, you know, like the internet doctors, whether they have credentials or not, that are on Instagram, you know, kind of promoting some of these rules. Like, what do you think about some of the posts people might put out? Like, this is what a day of eating looks like for me, and this is how many calories it is. And I mean, do you think that there's a place for that? Do you think there's valuable information that people can take from posts like that?
It is the Wild West in social media. And so it's really challenging, because I think that people just want to be told exactly what to do to get XYZ results. And that there's nothing inherently wrong with that. I understand that there are so many different things in life where it's like you do X, Y will happen, Z will happen. And so it's challenging with nutrition because we are all so different. So there's not necessarily one right answer. So I hate to bash things, but I do think that there is a lot of, what's the word? There are a lot of challenges that come from social media in that sense, where people show exactly, you know, everything that they're doing. They're giving very prescriptive amounts that certain people should be eating without, you know, being their doctor. And I think that that's really challenging, because there are so many factors that go into what a person needs to be healthy. It's more than just eating a specific amount of calories and burning another amount of calories. There's so much more to it than that, as to be a healthy, happy person mentally, physically, emotionally. I don't know. I struggle because it's challenging, because you want to inform people, but how do you inform people in a way that gives them enough information to make educated decisions that are right for their body, and also empower them to make those decisions for their body? Because a lot of people just, they don't want to screw it up. And I get that. They've been let down by so many things, but I think that that's part of what we need to do a better job as you know, a society, is teaching that it's okay to have differences. And Jen and Dom, what you need might be different from what I need. And neither of us are right or wrong. It's just different. And so figuring out how to teach that in a way where there's wiggle room is a challenge, but it's also important.
That is one of the biggest challenges.
And if anybody out there has the answer of how to do that, like, we all want to hear it, because it's so hard to educate people in a way that you're not giving hard rules, but allow that wiggle room. Totally.
Well, and I've even experienced, you know, having to put a program together and the expectation of what, and it included some food. Now, again, not a nutritionist or dietitian, and I'm clear to say that. However, I have an incredible husband who is a chef and likes to cook. So I was able to put together a lot of recipes for this program. However, going in, a lot of people in this group were like, wait, you didn't give the calorie breakdown. How do I know how much to have every day? What time of day am I supposed to have everything? And all of a sudden, I was like, oh, wow, I hadn't realized how strictly people had been used to this type of system of being led through in this way. And so for me, it was quite foreign. I'm very much like, well, eat when it feels good and don't eat when it doesn't, you know, but I get that a lot of people don't know that structure. So how do you approach this, you know, calorie counting, and when is that appropriate? When should you be focusing on that? And when is it maybe time to back off?
So everyone is different, and, you know, as we've discussed, and has different needs. But I think if someone is, you know, insisting on specific amounts, they should work with a doctor who is working with them specifically and closely, and monitoring so much more than just calories in, calories out. Because there really are a lot of things that go into that. And you know, it's not saying that that's wrong, not at all. I think there probably are certain people who will need to focus on that if there are certain conditions that they're treating. But again, that they need to work closely with someone credentialed to be able to do that. I think, you know, and what I like to do is help people learn, you know, what is protein? What does it do in your body? How does it fuel your body differently than carbohydrates? How does it fuel your body different than fats? Okay, well, if I'm feeling super tired, I just worked out super hard, how can I troubleshoot what my body might need from a nutritional standpoint and help people learn, how do I think about food nutritionally to fuel my body? And then also thinking about, okay, what do I feel like eating? What types of foods do I enjoy? What type of proteins are my favorite? What type are of carbs are my favorite? And figuring out how do we have those two meshed together into a sustainable plan. So learning how to balance a plate with the different types of nutrients. But if you're still hungry, go back and eat more. There's nothing wrong with that. And being able to trust yourself is really important. I think that people lose that trust because of the, you know, diet after diet after diet, and people telling them through, you know, advertising and marketing that they're doing it wrong and that they're going to do it wrong if they don't use that specific approach. So helping people learn how to trust themselves again is really important.
And speaking right into that, I mean, you kind of talked earlier about how, you know, when you were kind of in the pits of your disordered eating, you felt like you were trusting what your mind was telling you and it all made sense to you. And so what are some steps that you used? And of course, you were under clinical instruction and everything to start building that trust back in. And how can people start to gain that trust with themselves?
That is such a great point. So the way that I like to think about it is that everyone should have a firm foundation with their relationship with food before they try and make any sort of nutritional changes to get certain goals. And that's a challenging thing to tell people. But really, if you're thinking about the ideal way to create a relationship with food and then also fuel yourself well and be able to trust yourself, having a strong foundation of the principles of intuitive eating, I think, is super important. So when I'm working with clients, I help them go through a series of different exercises and things that they can do to evaluate how they're doing in the sense of intuitive eating. Do they have arbitrary food rules? Do they, you know, are they able to listen to hunger and honor fullness? Or, you know, do they skip meals, or do they sit in front of their TV and before they know it, the bag of chips is gone? You know, just having some awareness around those types of behaviors is really important first. And if a person is having any sort of major food anxieties or restrictions or any sort of disordered behaviors, focusing on those things first is essential. And then moving into a sort of mindfulness phase of nutrition can be really beneficial after that. Once you have a strong foundation to, you know, let's say a person wants to add some muscle or something. If they want to drop some body fat, being able to make adjustments to those, the types of nutrients, the amounts of food that you're eating at that point, then doesn't become as big of a deal because you're not battling the mental, emotional side of food. It then becomes so much more of a neutral ground because you're not having to battle all of those other things. It truly then just becomes about making some simple adjustments to the food, and it's so much easier. So I like to suggest first, obviously, if someone thinks that they might have a clinical eating disorder, get evaluated by professionals. And then after that, it's really just continuing to foster that relationship with food through intuitive eating, then moving into more mindfulness.
I think that's so huge. And I love that you come to this point of neutrality, right? Rather than reacting based on a fear or an emotion based on the food that is in front of you and how you're feeling yourself, you're doing it more out of practicality, knowledge, and education, which can feel scary. So getting that guidance from someone who can teach you what foods fuel you and what they do within the body and how they can change how your energy levels are reacting. I mean, I think I love this approach that you're going through, and we're going to definitely link everything up so that people can understand how they can work with you, because I think that is hitting on so many levels of what is what is lost out there. You know, a lot of it is just told, do this or eat this, don't eat that. But we don't get told enough what it's actually doing in our body and how it's creating that impact. So I absolutely admire your approach, Kelsey, and how you do it. Do you still yourself, if you're open to saying, you know, kind of struggle with knowing if you're slipping back into old patterns, or do you feel like you have a good grasp? Is it ever something you have to be mindful of? Do you get triggered if someone says something about the way you look? Like, how has that journey been for you up to this point?
Yeah, so at this point now, I went into treatment in 2009, and I did a lot of deep work in the few years after that. And I feel very grateful that I don't experience disordered behaviors, disordered thoughts around food. Now, that's not going to say that I never have a day where I'm like, oh, these jeans are not the ones today. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think that that's a human nature thing. But I am very grateful that I don't experience those types of disordered thoughts and behaviors. I plan ahead so much more, because where in the past when I was going and when I was sick, I liked the feeling of hunger. But now I'm like, okay, I don't ever want to get to the point where I feel so overly hungry that it just feels uncomfortable. So I'm always like just more mindful of like what my body needs now. I'm just so attuned with that. So I'm always like, if you should see my plain snacks, I'm very prepared. I always am prepared with all of the things, just because I don't ever want to have that overly hungry feeling. And I know that about myself now. And so I'm always aware of making nutritious choices, certainly. But you may have seen Dennis and I love our pizza night, and we love having treats and things like that. So just always keeping things super flexible is really, really important. So I'm really grateful to be out of that phase. But always just want to just be mindful of, okay, like checking in with myself and all of that. So with that, I feel fortunate.
No, that's so great. And again, like you said, it takes years and years of work and really being able to commit to this sense of re-educating and taking in the information on how you can start to shift yourself back to that neutrality before you start to make different changes. Like now, I mean, when you look up your pages on Daily Kelsey or even on HitBurn, you'll see all of the crazy things that you do now in training with your body and doing pull-ups and HIIT workouts. Shifting kind of from the food conversation, can you talk into where this whole thing came in, educating people into movement and using HIIT as, or I guess the HitBurn page is one of your ways of delivering that?
Yeah. So, I mean, I loved athletics growing up, and it just gave me so much confidence to be able to express myself through movement. And so after, you know, college and everything, going into fitness just was a very natural thing for me because I just loved it. And to also teach people balance. I mean, I've worked with so many people who feel like more is better when it comes to fitness. And so teaching, okay, how do we do effective workouts? How do we do workouts that are aligned with the goals that you have? More doesn't always make it better. And how do you just have fun while you're doing it? I think sometimes working out just becomes this thing that you check off a list. And certainly it is sometimes. There are definitely days where I'm like, okay, I'm really struggling to get this in, but I got to do it. But ultimately choosing types of fitness that you do enjoy the majority of the time is really important. So when Dennis and I, you know, started our business, HIIT training was what we were doing. And you know, teaching, and we traveled around the world. We didn't really have any equipment. We backpacked for 4 months in Europe, just as we were starting our online business, because it was fun and we weren't making a lot of money at the time, but we're like, hey, let's like adventure and live our lives. And so, we were creating a lot of HIIT programs and doing HIIT ourselves and all of that kind of stuff. Eventually got more into the strength training side as well. Just because it's such a powerful and important thing to teach and to do regularly. So that's kind of the balance that we're doing now.
And you're doing it so well. I mean, you motivate me every single time that I see your stuff. And I love working out with you too. Like, you are so strong, you're so powerful, and you're so positive. And I think that's another huge factor into why people love, I mean, both you and Dennis, and what you guys deliver and how you put it out, because it's not just about workout programs. It's not just about food and nutrition, but it's really about education, and it's about empowerment into how someone can feel different and use that and live their lives fully. You know, I think it's just incredible the work that you guys are doing. So I just thank you so much, Kelsey, for being so vulnerable and so open about your story. I know that's so huge and powerful for many others who have struggled and are going through it at right now as well. Where can people find more information about you and dive in and learn with you?
Yeah. So my personal Instagram is The Daily Kelsey, and there I talk a lot about relationship with food and exercise and show a lot of that stuff. And so I do some small group coaching with that where people can find me there. And just at thedailykelsey.com. And then also Dennis and I have our brand Hit Burn, where we do HIT workouts. We have a HIT app. And then I also do some different strength training programs with a company called Open Fit. So there's a few different places that people can find me.
And you can always find a really adorable video of a little wiener dog per se called Ella Wonder.
Oh, yes.
I think we just saw a video of, I don't know if she was like resting by like setting her head on the ground, but still standing up with her back legs. It was like one of the most hilarious things I've ever seen.
Dennis was sitting outside in a rocking chair, and he called to me and he's like, Kels, look at what this dog is doing right now. And it was full on, like, it must be where down dog originated, because Ella's on the ground, butt in the air, and she was just chilling. There was no purpose to it. She was just hanging out because it felt comfortable, and it was absolutely amazing.
So funny.
Well, we can't wait until we're back out west and we get to see y'all, move with y'all, and just enjoy life with you two. Thanks so much for spending the time with us. We really appreciate you, Kelsey.
Thank you so much. You two are incredible. I just admire you so much and just value you as friends and colleagues in all the ways. So thank you so much for having me.
We are just so grateful that we got to have Kelsey on and share a little bit of her story with you all. If you haven't had a chance to yet, please go check her out at The Daily Kelsey or Hit Burn for her amazing nutrition and movement information. And remember, we have this incredible 50% off discount going on the Optimal Body membership this week only. So please join our movement community, move through the next whole year with us, and learn how to develop incredible movement habits in your own body and in your life. And of course, we'll see you next time on the Optimal Body Podcast to find out what optimal means within your own body.